Barry Bunnell has served three jail sentences for child sex offences. He was a youth football scout and coach. He was in the game for absolutely years. He abused young boys for ages. He should have been building confidence, but he shattered it. He was trusted and utterly betrayed that trust. His victims suffer nightmares, sleeping problems, and difficulty in starting and maintaining healthy relationships. Survivors, in this case, are athletic, generally high-achieving sports men from a culture that doesn't easily or willingly show weakness or vulnerability. Now, there's a message from all of these survivors in their pursuit of truth and justice. And that message is that this must not happen again. And before we can understand how we can avoid it in the future, we have to understand what happened in the past. So their pursuit of truth and justice, in a way, starts now. Andy Woodward, formerly of Bury and Sheffield United, was the first to speak out. He doesn't like to say that he was brave to do so, but I think he was. He talked to Ian Dale right here yesterday afternoon.
I've said all along from the start that I knew that there was a magnitude of people out there that had suffered. And what's really poignant around it is I was a professional footballer. There's so many out there, unfortunately, they were affected so deeply that they never actually got to make the grade as footballers. And that's not solely because they weren't good enough. There's also the fact that they were suffering. You know, they could have been more than good enough to make it.
And how did it affect you on a day-to-day basis as a professional footballer? I mean, I've read in interviews that you've given that you felt it did affect your career. You retired at the age of 29. Looking back at the age of 43, I had to mention that. Do you wonder what might have been?
There's not a minute of the day that goes by since I've give up football that I miss it like you wouldn't believe, and it was cut short. And I also know that I used to think about my past every single day of my career, and every single lad out there, or sorry, man out there now, that will all tell you that there's not a minute that passes that you haven't got that in your mind, and what's going on and what's happened to you and everything.
And you can feel the pain, can't you? That's Andy Woodward talking to Ian Dale yesterday here at LBC. Breaking news now, Cheshire Constabulary have just said in the last few minutes that allegations have been made against more than one individual in relation to non-recent child sex abuse in football. So what we're seeing here is a mushrooming effect, and it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and I think it's massive. But I was hearing whispers years ago. I've been involved at a professional level, a junior level, and everything in sport. I was hearing whispers ages ago about football. Why was nobody listening? If you've been affected, you can give us a call, and you can be anonymous if you wish, but I know you're out there. It's 0345 606 0973. I mean, these stories, the trouble is, you do worry about the abuse of your own children if you have children of that age. And it makes you think about leaving children with any adult of authority at all. So everything is eroded. All the trust that we have in people that, you know, we would previously have looked up to in other generations, we've lost it all. But these footballers, I would consider them brave to come out. But if you want to give us a call on this subject and how it's affected you, happy to talk to you, really. 0345 606 0973. Welcome to the studio, Tom Perry, founder of Mandate Now. Tom, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Better explain what Mandate Now is before we chat.
Well, we're a pressure group. It was born really out of the abusive events that took place at Caldecott School and the scandal that exploded out from Caldecott School, and the wonderful documentary called Chosen, which was about the architecture of institutional abuse and its long-term effects. During the course of the cases that were gradually being developed, I and one other individual who was not directly involved, who was a non-practicing barrister, started turning over the stones, and we couldn't find law anywhere. Surely there must be a law to report abuse. Surely there must be. And it's like trying to find the Yeti. You know, you keep seeing a little imprint here and there, and you think, oh, this is it, this is it. So in the end, I commissioned counsel's opinion. And counsel's opinion came back to me, and I have to say it took quite some time. Counsel's opinion came back and said, no, there is no law to report child abuse, even witness rape in the UK, in a regulated activity. So in other words, a school, a sports organisation, a faith setting, Cubs, Scouts. Nobody has any requirement in law to report even witnessed rape of a child.
So to make it mandatory that you have to go if you have information.
Well, here we are. This is in this country now. We have something called statutory guidance. Now, if you just think of those two words, I'm coming back to your question. Yeah. I do promise. I'm not on a walkabout. If you think of those two words, statutory guidance, it's an oxymoron. You can't have statutory guidance. You've got to have law. Statutory guidance can function if you have law, but there is no law. So in very simple terms, what we're doing is saying, well, look, the statutory guidance is there now. It's dysfunctional because it's not supported by law. There is no foundation of law. Law delivers RC30 reinforced concrete so that you're standing on solid footings. If you have a suspicion on reasonable grounds, you must report it, because at the moment that report is discretionary, and should you make that report, you are a whistleblower, and all you have to protect you is the Public Interest Disclosure Act, which provides no protection at all.
And what you're dealing with football, and you've explained that point, Tom, what you're dealing with football, and I've explained about these athletic men, these sportsmen, and the culture of sport, which is often extremely macho. It certainly doesn't show vulnerability or weakness easily. And that is a recipe for suppression, which is what we've seen, because people have known about this abuse in football for years and they've said nothing.
But the biggest suppression of the lot, and this is the one that's missed by everybody, and I mentioned this to, I was with all the men this morning. Okay,
with the footballers that have come out, there's 11 out at the moment.
Well, I was with four of them this morning, yeah, who were on a television station.
That's okay. That's Victoria Derbyshire. That's
yeah, that's right. Well, I was with them with Victoria Derbyshire, and we had a long session in the green room afterwards, which was extremely interesting. And so many of the defaults, which I recognised from Caldecott, are absolutely there.
Like
there's
what?
There's nothing new. Well, it is the proximity, the closeness to your parents, the aspiration of the young boys who want to be good. Look, Andrew, you know about this. You're a sportsman, for goodness sake, you know.
There's a whole load of sports that are looking
you've got
at this
it,
and going,
you've
hello.
You've got it in one. And very interestingly, one of the things that I mentioned to them, because it hadn't been mentioned in the programme, is that sense, when you have been abused once, then you're abused again. This is me. And then again, you get this, you develop this sense of complicity.
Yeah.
And complicity silences you. It separates you. It breaks the parental bond, because you can't confide in your parents. My mother was flattered at the attentions of the man who coached me. And here we are. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, well, I can't go to my mother. She's welded to the guy. Where can I go? And the answer is, I can go nowhere. I've got nowhere to go. So it gets buried, and that destroys.
So, and that destruction just, you know, echoes throughout your life. And actually, if you had a professional look at it, and I'm sure you have, you'll look at strained relationships. You'll look at any number of developmental issues.
Absolutely, and it goes on to violence. The cost of child abuse. The NSPCC has come up with some figure in 2012. That says the cost of child abuse in this country, and I think it's a very conservative figure, is £3.2 billion a year. Now, I would respectfully suggest to the NSPCC that someone has missed a digit or two.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very
but
costly
you know, the
business
real
to
cost
people
is not
and
money.
No, yeah. You're right.
And I salute your efforts to put a number on it, because nowadays, for anything to have value, it seems to have a pound sign in front of it. In the week of the autumn statement, we've all seen that. But the real cost, and what I'm trying to get to here, I mean, I've posed this question, I want answers on it. Do the stories about abuse worry you about your own children? It's an erosion of trust everywhere, isn't it? It sort of seeps into everything that we do.
May I tell you what I did? I mean, you know, look, I'm an abusee. I've been at this since 2005.
You're a survivor, is that the right word?
I'm an abusee. I don't relate to the word survivor, no. And I'm not a victim.
All
I'm just an abusee. I'm someone who is abused.
You would be.
Okay?
Right. Yeah.
So, as an abusee, frankly, for any headmaster, I'm a nightmare. Okay? I'm the parent from hell. Except I'm not, because all I actually want, I want to see that there's a robust policy in place. My son went to a very, very, very unusual school, to which he won a scholarship. I was amazed at all this. I really was. I just, you know, what, you know? Off he went to it. And before he arrived, I contacted the headmaster. I'd been through their child protection policy, unpicked it, and it was pretty lousy. I spoke to him with great interest, and I have to say, do you know, that man made dramatic changes, presented it to his enormous board of the great and the good, gonged beyond belief, and he got changes. But then as soon as he left, the policy went back to where it started.
Tom, briefly, where's this football story going? You will have seen this sort of thing before. I think it's massive. Somebody suggested it could be as big as Savile. I mean, this is our national game, and it's like a religion to some people. They're going to be amazed. Thank God we do live in a country now where this is not going to be just swept away as a gay problem, because it's not.
It's nothing
an
to do.
Problem.
It's nothing to do with your sexual orientation. This is to do with the abuse of children.
Quite.
Where is it going? Well, the dam has broken. I saw the head of the PFA the other day said, well, you know, it might get to double digits. What?
Gordon Taylor, I mean,
I don't know what land he's in, but it's not a land that I recognise.
Yeah, double digits.
This is very serious. And what's going to happen is this stream is going to continue. It will become a flood without any question of doubt, because people are now feeling free to speak.
Which is, the dam has burst. And this bloke, Barry Bunnell, has been done three times for this. So we can speak openly.
Yes.
And people are coming out openly and talking about it. And you can too. 0345 6060 973. Incidentally, and can take your calls in a couple of minutes, and at 1:30, we will be joined by the chair of the PFA, the Professional Footballers Association, Gordon Taylor. So that was him, right? So we'll talk to Gordon Taylor in a few minutes. Don't you do that. We'll hear what he has to say. Gordon Taylor, at after 1:30. Tom Perry, founder of Mandate Now. It's a delight to speak to you. Thank you very much.
Indeed. My pleasure.